Well, good morning, church. Everyone's well? Yes? Great. We're going to talk about dreams today, but we're not talking about the night dreams that you have. We're talking about your hopes, your aspirations, your God-given little seeds that God puts in you for you to be able to accomplish things for God's kingdom, for your family, for our nation, for all those different kind of things. I have a couple questions for you. Actually, Mark, you ought to put me on the platform, or not the platform, I'm on the platform. Put me on the screen. That'd be all right. A couple of these people, what was Martin Luther King's dream? Remember that famous speech, "I have a dream"? He was looking for equality of every human being, wasn't he? What about Christopher Columbus? What was his dream? He was trying to find a shortcut to China, wasn't he? But he discovered a new land. NASA had a dream to put a man on the moon, and they've done that. Apple Computers, what's their dream? Change the world. They have a couple dreams. They want to put an iPhone and a computer in everyone's pocket, but they wanted to make computers, instead of business computers, personal computers, and they've absolutely done that. Henry Ford wanted to build an affordable automobile when it was just the privilege of the rich before that. Our first Prime Minister, John A. Macdonald, had a dream of a united Canada, and the way he was going to do that was to build a railway from sea to sea. All of these people, the thoughts that they have, and by the way, on here, none of these are ministry dreams. These are just dreams about life. And I find it fascinating that God is just constantly giving revelation to you and to me and to every single person about stuff, about new ways to benefit people. Because God is here, obviously he wants everyone to connect with him, but God cares about people, and so God is always in the process of giving ideas to people, thoughts, dreams, that we could be a benefit and a blessing to other people, because God wants to be a blessing. Dreams come, these thoughts, these hopes, these aspirations that we have, they just come like real random, and it's very few people actually remember them. Now, our founding pastor, the reason I'm doing this talk today is because our founding pastor, John Ardit, is on a little bit of a push for our pastors to be coming up with a list of 100 dreams, to write out 100 dreams. And just, they could be about anything. It could be about travel, education. It could be about just whatever. And so part of my stimulation for that 100 is to just look in the scriptures and just talk about some stuff and just to be inspiring myself a little bit about that. Do you remember Jesus' mother Mary? It quite often talked about that she would ponder things. She would see things, she would hear things, she would know things, and she's trying to put it all together. And the Bible seems to say that when Jesus was 30, she got very frustrated one day. And her frustration boiled out to at a wedding where Jesus is just sitting around as a wedding guest and nothing special is going on except that they ran out of alcohol, ran out of wine. And she's going, all the things that I know, all the things that I felt, Jesus, like sooner or later, you got to get going. And he's going, not my time. And she said, it's your time, and told the servants, whatever he says, do it. Did you know that Mary's dreams for Jesus started him in ministry? Did you realize that? And dreams are just life-changing things for the person who's having the dream and for other people around. Next slide. Just keep me up because I'm going to go quick. In the Old Testament, it says a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when this lady saw that he was a fine child, I don't think it's just talking about a nice-looking kid. She sees something unique about this child, and she hid him for 3 months. This is when every male child was to be killed in Egypt during the slavery. And the Bible says that when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch, and then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds of the bank of the Nile. And that baby's Moses. And this mother saw something, and her imagination begins to work. Her thinking begins to click in. I can't kill this child. I have to do everything in my power to make this child live. There's something special about this child. It's because God gave her a thought, gave her a hope, gave her an aspiration. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews is this wonderful book. We don't know who wrote the book, but we do know that chapter 11 is a great chapter. And chapter 11 is all about men and women who had a hope and turned their hope into something that the Bible calls faith. And hope is the first stage of great things happening. When God gives a thought, that's called hope. When we go one step further and begin to do something about the thought, that's what the Bible calls faith. Faith is the certainty, it is the doing of what we know to be right, about what we know to be true. And in the scriptures, as you go through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, there's all these men and women that had a hope, a thought, a dream, something came into their spirit, a revelation, and they did something about it. And so just real quick to look at the first four. The first one was Abel that's talked about in Hebrews 11. And this guy, it would appear that the understanding that came to him is that God likes obedience. And so when God spoke to Cain and to Abel and said, give an offering, one of the guys said, okay, real good. You know what? When harvest time comes and I see how much I get, I'm going to wait and then I'll give my gift. But the other one, Abel, understood that God likes obedience and he gave an offering right away, not knowing what his harvest was going to be like. And God rewarded obedience. And so he's in the Bible because he acted on a hope, on a dream, on a thought. Then we have Enoch, and his dream is you can experience God. And because you can experience God, let's spend time with God. Let's walk with God. Let's be with God. And God rewarded him for that. Then we have Noah. Noah gets this revelation from God. God spoke to him one day. For 120 years, people said, you're crazy. As he's building a boat, because he had a conversation with God one day and said, there's going to be a flood. And his hope is, I can save my family. If I do something about this dream that God's given me, I can save my family and anyone else. And it was an open invitation for people to join, and no one did. How many of you have seen the movie Ethan Almighty? Evan Almighty. Not Ethan. Ethan's my grandbaby. Sorry. Evan. Sort of. Evan Almighty. Remember, have you seen that movie? Oh, people, you need to get to Netflix tonight or Rogers or some of those kind of things. And this is an amazing movie that's a recreation of Noah's Ark. And it's an American politician and he builds this boat and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what Noah was going through. Noah went through 120 years, the Bible said, it took him to build that boat. And he did it because he had a God thought. And he took it serious. And the last one, just real quick, is Abraham. And Abraham said, you are going to lead nations. And the Bible says the two things that the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11 that were his act of faith was number one, to leave his nation, and number two, to get in bed with his wife. That's pretty good, isn't it? The leaving your nation part. Because the Bible says that the King James Bible has a nice little euphemism about him. It says his body was as good as dead. That's saying he's impotent. And his wife's infertile. That's not good news. When I get to heaven, one of the first people I'm going to talk to is Abraham. And here's my question for him. How long did you and your wife go without having sex before this? Because if he's impotent, no sense trying. What if it's 20, 30 years? And now God speaks to him and says, you're going to be a father of nations. And he's going, okay, well, sooner or later, we're going to have a baby. So let's try, honey. And he's in the Bible for attempting to have sex. That's pretty good, isn't it? Why are we laughing? This is in the Bible. There are three times in the book of Hebrews where the author interrupts. He's telling the stories of men and women going through their acts of faith, living on the things, acting out the things that God spoke to them and that they are certain of, things that they've seen but no one else has seen them. Three times the author interrupts, and gives a commentary. And so we're going to look at those three things, and they're in your bulletin as well this morning. So the first one is that when you act on your dreams, God is pleased. When you begin to step out and begin to do something about the thoughts, the dreams that come to you, God says he's pleased. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So remember, faith is the action of hope. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and he, what? Rewards. God gives rewards for those who begin to act out. So you're thinking, you know what, in September, I'd like to take an extra, maybe a night course. That's called a hope. That's called a dream. But when you sign up, that's called faith. And God likes those kind of things. God likes when you act on your thoughts, on the dreams that come your way. That's my 5-minute warning. People in the front row can hear the phone, but people in the back can't. So I was just telling you, that's what, anyway. God rewards every time that you step out and begin to do something that God has spoken to you about. You begin to put legs on the dreams. You begin to think about, not just think about, but you begin to act. You begin to arrange, you begin to plan. God is into that, and the Bible says that God not only is pleased by it, but he rewards you. Number two, when you act on your dreams, God begins to work for you. He works for you. Bible says this in verse 16, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What was Abraham looking for? Bible says he was looking for a city that was made by God. He's walking around all over modern day Israel. Do you remember when he's on the mountain with Lot, his nephew, and their families have just gotten too big and they need to do something about it? And so God speaks to Abraham and says, here's the deal. Get you and your nephew. By the way, the nephew has made all of his money by following Abraham, by just being close to him, enjoying the success of his uncle. And the two of their families are starting to bash a little bit, starting to have some challenges. And God says to Abraham, go to the top of this mountain, take a look, and let your nephew have first choice of the land. Remember that story? And Abraham does that, and Lot must be thinking, oh my goodness, he's gone crazy in the sun. Something's wrong. Of course I'm going to take all this fertile land, and you can take all the hills, all the mountains, all the cattle land where you can just have cattle, and that's really about it. And the Bible says that Lot went away, and my guess is he's having a little bit of a party. Abraham stayed on the mountain. Now, maybe he's staying in the mountain going, oh my goodness, how do I explain this to my wife? He's not wanting to go home right away. And while he's still on the mountain waiting, lingering, thinking, oh God, what are you about? The very fact that he acted and did what the thought was that came to him, as he acts on it, God begins to work for him. And God goes, I was waiting for your nephew to leave, but actually, everything's yours. Forget about it. He's going to lose everything. And remember, he did lose everything because Lot settles in one of those cities, settles in Sodom and Gomorrah area, lost everything. Abraham got everything. Everywhere he's walking, trying to find just where do I belong? Actually, the Bible says God spoke to him and said, everywhere your foot goes, that's your property. And so the more walking he's doing, the more land he had for his ancestors. It's good. Number three is when we act on our dreams, the thoughts, the inspiration, the hopes that God gives us, God begins to make better plans for us. I love this. It says all of these people were committed for their faith. And this is at the end of the chapter, 39 and 40, these two verses. And it talks about a whole bunch of unnamed people. It talks about widows getting their dead back. It talks about ordinary people that some of them never even saw everything that they had hoped for come to pass. But they were working towards that. They were living as if those things were going to happen. They were living into the future and beginning to make all the plans and all that kind of stuff. And it says God commended these people for their actions, for their faith. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God is always planning good things. God is a God of upgrades. How many of you are business travelers, airplanes, been on an airplane? Nobody's been on an airplane? Good. How many of you have had an upgrade in an airplane? Hands up. Is that not the best thing? How many of you have had an upgrade into one of those bed seats? Is that not the best thing? I love to get on, and when you're in those seats, they let you on first just so that you can be smug while everyone else gets to walk by you. I love to just sit there and pretend that I belong. I love the upgrades. I love that kind of stuff. I love when you get special treatment that, you know, I just like that. It makes me feel good. God is into that for every single one of us, only if we begin to take his thoughts, his words, his ideas seriously. And I'm not even talking about ministry today. We're just talking about whatever God's given you, whatever the dreams are. God takes those things serious. If he gave you the word, he's wanting it to take place. Now, if you're over 50, you will remember that when Bill Gates was a young man and starting out in business, he was not a good guy. He was considered a shark. He was a bully in the computer world. He was buying up smaller companies. He was sabotaging other businesses and that kind of stuff. And he really had a bad reputation, as I remember it. I may be wrong, but that's my recollection, was that he really wasn't a team player when it came to computer stuff. He stole the Windows idea from Apple and just, you know, sort of almost marginalized the Apple computer company, and his company just exploded in value. It's very interesting that today Bill Gates is one of the leading philanthropists in our world. I was recently heard on the news that Bill Gates, what he's been doing is been traveling around to different nations, and when he travels, he takes some of the richest Americans with him, not just Americans, but richest people with him, and they meet with the richest people in that nation and challenge them to leave their money as a legacy for other people. And the Chinese government has recently refused Bill Gates to come because they know that that was his agenda. I found that very interesting. And Bill Gates has turned the hearts of people that aren't, my recollection, never met some of these people, but I remember reading about people like Ted Turner, who owns CNN. It just seemed like he was a harsh man from everything that I saw around him, just the way that he treated people, and well, at least the comments that you read in the media and things like that. And again, to have people to be able to turn everything around, that's a God thing, because where did Bill Gates get all of his ideas? He got them from the Lord. Now, he doesn't acknowledge that yet. He's not a follower of Jesus, to my understanding. Where did the idea of CNN come from? That'd be the Lord, wouldn't it? Every idea, every concept that we have. What about medicines? What about the telephone? What about clickers in your hand? What about lights? What about everything has come from God? And the person who invented lights, was that a good day? Remember Edison? How many times did he try to make the light bulb? Was it something like 900 and something times? And what, if you remember, well, you won't remember him, but he is alleged to have said when it didn't go well, like when he invented it and it failed, he would say this, well, that's another way not to make it. He had a positive spin because he had seen something that no one else had seen. And he's acting on it and acting on it and acting on it. And God is into those kind of things, whether you're a Christian or not. And he's into giving you better things. He's into giving you upgrades. He's into allowing that people can be blessed through you. I'd like you to stand up and get in a group of three. And on the screens right now are five different things. And in your group of three, I'd like you to each take 30 seconds and give two dreams from two of those categories. Give one dream from each of two different categories. Does that make sense? So what's your travel dream? Oh, I'd like to go on a cruise all around the world on the Queen Mary. That's one of mine. That's on my list. So in a group of three, one dream from two of those categories. Just share them real quick. 30 seconds each. Go. Look around, and if there's someone by themselves, get them to join your little group. Always wanted to go on a missions trip. Always wanted to learn how to fly. Always wanted to jump out of an airplane with a parachute. Always wanted to buy alligator shoes. What are your dreams? You should be on to the second person by now. Always wanted to write a song. Want to be a professional hockey player. Maybe a little too late for some of you. Like to start my own business. I'd like to get married someday. I'd like to go back and finish my degree. I'd like to live with no pain in my body, no discomfort. I'd like to live in a peaceful home. Whatever, all the different things that God thoughts that come to you, they're God thoughts. Okay, 10 seconds, we're wrapping up. Five seconds. Okay, everyone stop. Here's what we're going to do. Stay standing. I'd like you to start with the tallest person in your group. And the other ones in your group, I'd like you to lay hands. And I would like you just to bless the dreams that God's given. And now turn them that God begins to give them action steps. God begins to give them ideas on how to make this happen. God begins to put faith on top of hope. Can you do that? Go. Start with the tallest person. Give you 45 seconds to pray for them, and then we'll flip around to the group. Bless their ears to hear better from the Lord. Bless their eyes to continue to see. Bless their hearts to be sensitive to new information, to deeper revelation. To concepts. So speak a blessing on that dreamer. Ten seconds. Okay, switch to the second person in your group and begin to do the very same for them. Begin to bless the two things that they shared about. Pray into that and say, God, that cruise around the world that they're looking for, well, they're going to need time off. They're going to need finances. They're going to need good luggage. They're going to need, just pray into those kind of things. So lay hands, like actually put your hand on their shoulders, the second person you're praying for. Take turns praying for them right now. Ask for the Holy Spirit to give them more revelation. More revelation. More ideas. Do you remember the principles in the scripture? That those who are faithful with little get more. More ideas coming to you. More of God's thoughts coming your way. Did you know that one of the purposes of God, Bible says that God is wanting to make you a man or a woman of renown. God wants to make you famous, is what the Bible says. Why would you be famous? Well, just like these other ordinary people from the scriptures, you did what God said. 10 seconds. Okay, switch to the third person in your group. And if there's more than three people in your group, pray for all of them right now, because this will be our last go-around. So you have 45 seconds to pray for person three or four. Pray the same thing. Bless their ears to hear. Bless their eyes to see. Bless their heart to pick up more from the Father. Bless them to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. All that God's wanting to do. Seconds. Okay, if you could look at me just for a second here now. Here's the challenge. James, in his book, says that without faith, without actions, our faith is dead. Remember that? And he talks about that we are not just to be hearers of the word, we're to be doers of the word. Remember that little phrase in the book of James? When it talks about the word, in that passage, it is not talking about the written word of God. The word there is the word rhema. It's the word revelations, ideas, hopes. Don't just be a hearer of dreams, of hopes. Be a doer, is what James said. So Sandra and I, we're just going to pray into these things for you right now. So church, how about we stand up together? Grab someone's hand beside you. Father, I'm asking that we wouldn't just be daydreamers, as it were. But Father, that in this room today, those watching on the internet today, Father, that things would stir up with us and we would say, you know what? I'm going to do something about that. I am going to sign up for that night school course. I am going to sign up for that missions trip. I am going to do this. I'm going to do my best to arrange my schedule to do this, 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 and this. And some of your dreams may never come true, and that's okay. I was talking with Bill DePlay before the morning meeting. Bill was just sitting over here. They have a grandbaby that was born like really premature, 3 pounds, and the baby's still sort of life and death kind of thing. And Bill was saying that he was just shocked at how superb the Sunnybrook Hospital is with all of the machinery that they have, all of the technology. And he was realizing it's just people in our city that have been wealthy that have made donations to make it possible. And so it's this person's wing, this person's machine that they bought. And he didn't know what I was talking on, but as we were talking just before the meeting, he said, if I ever get scads of money, that's what I want to do, is give to a hospital. Well, that was a God thought that came to him today. So he may not be shockingly wealthy to be able to do that, but that's sort of registered in his heart. And Father, we're asking for things to register in our hearts, even this week, even today, Father, whether we're awake or whether we're asleep. Father, may your thoughts to benefit our nation, benefit our city, to see people come to know Jesus Christ, Father, all those ideas you've given us, we thank you that you speak, and we do want to be doers in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Sandra.
Jeremiah 29 over you, but it says, I know the plans I have for you. How about you just close your eyes and just receive that for a minute? Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And so, Father, I thank you that today that there is a hope, that you've been stirring hope in us. And, Father, I'm praying, Lord, that we are your kids. And so, Lord, I thank you for the godly inheritance that comes to us, that comes to us as sons and daughters. And so, Father, I'm asking that, Lord, that you would just remove all the stuff that's been in a way, Lord. And I pray, Father, that there would be clarity and provision and favor that will come to these people.